Welcome to Semper Reformanda. We are in the immediate aftermath of the regular recording. I still am very foggy and unclear as to what we're about to talk about. John says he has something, so I'm going to take him at his word, and I'm going to hand it over to him. John.
Yeah, so just looking at some notes over here.
See, he's cheating. You know, he's looking at notes. He's doing all kinds of things.
I've had a lot of time in the recent days to think about the trajectory of Theocast and the trajectory of our churches and GRN. And in many ways, Justin, you and I have lived a pretty easy life when it comes to persecution. Like we have received some opposition.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But most of it's been amicable. It's been kind. There's not been a lot of, you know, people have sense of weird things. And then you have the weirdos out there that, and they're against the world. So it's like, well, if you're against everybody, I'm not going to be offended by that.
Yeah. And you have the pitchfork witch hunter types. I mean, even in the church, the orthodoxy police and, you know, the people who stand on the wall for whatever. And, you know, I mean, I've been told many times on Twitter that my doctrine is of the evil one, and that's fine. We expect that those kinds of things occur, but I agree with what you're saying. What you said and what you're saying.
But I am realizing that you and I are only finding greater confidence and boldness. And with that, it can sound intolerable. We are not allowing room for disagreement. And in many ways, yeah, I would say I would agree with that. We are not
allowing room on disagreement. To be clear on primary issues of doctrine.
Right.
Right.
And so that's where I find myself saying, okay, John, do not pride yourself in being right, but read the passages of scriptures that say, dear saint, if you truly believe what I'm saying, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You know, twice Paul says we are suffering for the sake of the elect. Mm-hmm. Well, suffering what? I think he means in general, like pain and cancer. But I think he also means persecution.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
The darts you take.
Because he says we endure all things. And I think he means life and death. And spiritual warfare.
It would be better to be with the Lord. Admittedly, we don't always believe that. But I mean, maybe we have faith to trust that, but it would be better, Paul says, to be with the Lord.
Today, so in one sense, I believe that.
Sure. So in one sense, I do think, you know, we endure all things. It's like we continue to live life in a fallen world because there's still work to be done. At least that's the Lord's perspective because he hasn't taken us home yet. But then in addition, we encounter, I'm okay to say it this way, we encounter harm and hatred for Christ's name. And that's just, that goes with the territory. We follow a crucified Messiah. They hated him. They're going to hate us, like you already said. And we ought not be surprised when that's true.
Yeah. The reason I want to talk about this in SR is that we can't get sidetracked and sidelined by those who are going to come after us. One of the things that I think Jesus responded to people that were in front of him, but he didn't chase them.
Sure.
And so I think that we have to be careful that as Theocast grows and our churches grow and whatever context you as an SR listener are listening to, that you stay focused and remember that the mission is to find the lost, the weak, the dirty, and give them the good news of the hope of the gospel. And that we may have to shake the dust of our shoes off, you know, not throw pearls to swine and understand that it's not our responsibility to change the heart of people. It's our responsibility to look to Christ, to love the brethren, and to proclaim the good news and let the results be where God wants them. Sure. And at times that can be really hard because getting shot at and getting beat up, like whether it's verbally or physically, I mean, sometimes verbal attacks can be harder. It's better. I'd rather punch me in the face than hear what you have to say, what you think about me. So my encouragement is just as I think, you know, Justin, you and I are going to be picking up some subjects here for the sake of the gospel that I think we're going to get shot at. Like theonomy is one of those.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Christian nationalism that's related to that.
when we talk about lordship salvation or final justification, those kind of things, we've been shot at significantly for that.
Well,
and I think that I don't want to gain pride and be like, oh, you know, look how good we are. We're defending the gospel.
As though it's a badge of honor.
Exactly. It's not a badge of honor. I think that at times we just remind ourselves, God knows, God sees, keep doing what God wants us to do.
Amen to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there is, I'm going to say it this way, and I don't mean to offend anyone. I'm not the first person to use this kind of language. There is an intolerance to confessionalism that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got to own that. And what I mean, now, there's a lot that goes into this, you know, the broader conversation about the church and the culture and the kingdom of Christ and the common kingdom of the world, et cetera, that we don't need to get into right now. We'll definitely spend some time talking about those things in the coming months, I'm sure.
Right, right, for sure.
There's all kinds of ways that we live with our neighbor in the common kingdom that I'm not speaking to right now. I'm speaking to exclusively redemptive kingdom church stuff, where in the kingdom of Christ, we have our own liturgy, our own faith, our own ethic, right? That's outlined by scripture, of course, not in every detail. God has spoken to many things, but not to everything. That's important. But where our confessions are clear, and we subscribe to the confessions that we subscribe to because we have deemed them biblical. Mm-hmm. And so then they become a guide and a tool, and they become something that is a tool of safety and unity and protection for the church.
Yeah.
And so there ought to be, like, if we're going to be, I'm just going to use the word here, if we're going to be confessionalists, if we're going to be truly confessional in an historical sense, then there is an intolerance to that, where we do not tolerate doctrine that contradicts the confession. Mm-hmm. And this makes people uncomfortable, I think, sometimes in our modern day. I think it's always made people uncomfortable, though, if we're going to be real about it. But this is language that J. Gresham Machen used. You know, there is an intolerance to confessionalism. Like, we're not going to consider these things.
We have to, because the confession is built on the gospel, let's be frank.
One, it's built on the clear doctrine of Scripture. You know, like, not the doctrine of the word proper, but doctrine contained in the Bible. Because the confessions are systematic theology, where Christians corporately have done the work of formulating doctrine as taught in Scripture, and we deem these things biblical. We subscribe to the confession, right? And so we're going to use the confession in our theology, piety, and practice in the life of our local church, and for us, God willing, in the life of our association, the Grace Reformed Network. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to waver here, and we're going to hold the line. And so there is an appropriate amount of intolerance when it comes to thoughts and perspectives and doctrine, especially if it doesn't square with the confession, it doesn't work. Right. And how else would we live, you know? And to say that you're intolerant about something sounds terrible in our modern day, but in reality, if we think rightly about these things, the sphere, and if we want to use even a road analogy, like the lane in which we're driving, in which we're intolerant, is actually pretty narrow. And when we go outside of what the confession is clear on, then there's room for all kinds of liberty and charity and latitude for people to make any number of wisdom calls that seem appropriate to them.
That's right.
And so holding those distinctions in appropriate tension and living according to the confession when it comes to primary things, but then giving liberty everywhere else and appealing even to the light of nature.
Yeah.
Not being a biblicist in that regard is liberating and helpful. So those are just a few things on my mind. I'm very willing, and I know you are too, not as a badge of honor or anything like that, not of something to boast in, but I'm very happy to hold the doctrinal line as articulated by our confession, which we have deemed to be biblical.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hold the line on the law and the gospel and covenant theology and union with Jesus and what that means for our sanctification in particular. I'm happy to take the bullets for that, and I expect that we will continue to.
Yeah, it's unfortunately going to be the part of our world until Jesus comes back. It's in our hearts. It's in our desires. And yet the thing that encourages me, you know, and this is something that, you know, maybe we'll do a podcast on soon. The thing that encourages me is that I have the light of the gospel to liberate those who I'm in contentious with, you know. But there is one other aspect, and I'm not going to answer it. I'll just throw it here and we'll be done. But when Paul says, avoid contentious people, put them out of your midst. There are times where they don't agree on the gospel, and or they don't agree on the truth of scripture, and they've got to be put out. And so that's hard. I think that's part of the things that I struggle with, is that we want hope for all, but we have to use wisdom and discernment. And that's complicated.
Sure. You
know? So yeah, we'll do another pod on that another day, but that's my encouragement to you who are supporting us. Hey, you're going to be shot at. Theocast is going to be shot at. Don't defend Theocast. No. Defend Christ and the gospel. Yeah. And if that happens, what we're standing up for, then great. You know,
defend Christ, awesome. Defend the gospel, defend sound doctrine. That's very clear. Don't get worked up over, I would even say, I don't even think we ought to get worked up over secondary issues in public forums. I mean, and by secondary issues, I mean baptism, you know, the administration of the sacraments, church government, even some of the implementation of how we view males and females in the church and in the home. Like, high level agreement is what we want there. We're not after everybody seeing everything the same way when it comes to wisdom and implementation. And I think for us to be charitable and all that is a good way forward. And I would discourage people from, holistically, do not try to settle theological debates online. And it actually is useful to be able to look a human being in the eyes and have conversations and have a relationship that's built there that will bear the weight of those kinds of conversations. That's all really helpful. And pray for us as we think about Theocast in the future, that we would always remain committed to the primary things and keep the main things. And because that's what's, I think, made, if this podcast has been helpful to people, that's what's done it. And that's what John and I are in agreement that we want to continue to do. We don't want to go the way of other ministries where sometimes you've been doing it long enough, you feel like you got to speak to every conceivable issue. That's just not helpful. Because we don't have unique wisdom to offer in so many realms, but we know that we're right on the gospel and on the law and some of these things. So
that's right.
Anyway, amen. That's it from us this week. We love you guys. We're grateful for your support. We're grateful for the encouraging messages that you send us. And, we pray that you are continuing to grow in your understanding of who Christ is for you, and that you're finding increasing amounts of rest and peace in your soul, and that you're always looking to Jesus and not to how you're feeling or how you're doing or even to your circumstances. Just remember that Christ's life is the evidence of God's grace for you, not your life. And may that encourage you today. We'll talk with you guys again next week, should the Lord not return. And we look forward to that conversation, whatever that's going to be about. We don't know as it stands. The Lord does, and we take heart in that. All right, Amy, we're out of here.
Peace. All right, I'm out of here. See ya.
All right. See ya.